Unfortunately, I wish we were talking about a different ending than what we're probably going to hear tomorrow in terms of the president's decision on how to proceed in Afghanistan.
Well, it's clearly an escalation, although the White House is trying to wrap it as an exit. You're either in or you're out. And you can't talk about getting out while you're sending 3,000 or 30,000 more troops. I mean, I hope the first thing that happens is there is some candor in the president's presentation so that it's not a case of trying to be all things to all people.
We've seen a lot of that from him, though. I think he, you know, he doesn't want to piss people off, for lack of a better term.
Well, you know what, though? Here's the thing. This goes beyond President Obama. And this is really about our future.
Mm-hmm.
And how in the world can we spend $3 trillion on a war in Iraq, according to Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz and his assistant Linda Bilmes? This is what that war will cost. And William Polk, in a presentation in New York last week, said that the war in Afghanistan could run between $3 and $6 trillion. How are we going to have the money for this? Who's going to pay for it? Are we going to borrow from China? Are we going to further endanger our country's economic security? Don't we have problems here to take care of here at home? Sooner or later, we have to ask if this reach for empire doesn't carry with it a curse, and that Afghanistan, known as the graveyard of all empires, it might be exactly the place where we meet our undoing. We've got to be exceedingly careful about any moves we make of escalation, and unfortunately, that move is being made, and it could carry with it great misfortune for our country.
Now, do you, as a member of Congress, get any kind of advance look at what the president is going to say tomorrow night to rationalize his excuse for escalating this war?
Well, actually, it's the other way around. Congress gave the president an advance of $130 billion on October the 8th,
mm-hmm.
2009, when it passed the National Defense Authorization Act, which provided for another $130 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which authorized the increase of the military by 30,000 Army troops. Does that number ring a bell? In addition to more Marines and Air Force and Navy. Congress essentially has licensed this. The question is, and the president's just basically returning the favor by saying, okay, now I'll make an announcement. Congress had a chance to weigh in. Congress has a lot of responsibility here. You know, for too long, we gloss over congressional responsibility. The Democrats promised the American people we were going to get out of Iraq in 2006 when we were elected to, and given control to Congress. Well, you know, my party unfortunately reneged on that promise. And now the budget for Afghanistan and Iraq is included in the same budget, and Congress just appropriated another $130 billion, or authorized, rather. And so, you know, this is a government which is failing in both areas where the people directly elect a president and the Congress. Our government's failing the American people. We have massive unemployment. People are losing their homes. Their retirement security, their life savings, their kids aren't able to go to college. And what do we offer them? We give them more war. This is wrong.
It is wrong. So what do we as citizens do about it?
Wake up. Time to understand what's going on here, the reach for empire, the playing on people's fears to hold us in a war that there's nothing you can call a victory. To say that we're going to go in and out at the same time belies credibility, or rather challenges one's credibility. You know, this is really a chance for us to look at where our country's at. I mean, what are we about? Is this all about trying to be the conqueror of a region, or to try to protect energy supplies? I mean, come on, tell the American people what this is really about. But don't tell them you're doing this for liberty. Don't tell them you're doing this so that we protect ourselves from terrorism, because we're making America less safe the more that we reach into other people's neighborhoods and bomb them and kill their children and destroy their families. I mean, this is not about making us safer.
No, I agree with you. So, again, I mean, do we need to take to the streets? We already...
It's time to wake up. It's time to exercise the civic capacity for being able to challenge one's government in a nonviolent way. I mean, this is an American tradition, and people need to realize the importance of gathering in town halls and in libraries and meeting places all over our communities to come together and to talk about the direction America should be going. You know, with this $13 trillion in bailouts to Wall Street while Main Street goes suffering, the disconnect between the finance economy and the real economy, how the market moves forward while so many people are sliding backwards, it's like Washington isn't in touch with the fact that unemployment is annihilating communities across America, and here we are dithering with more war. It makes no sense at all, and if we don't speak out against it, shame on us.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich is with us. I agree with you. Now, I think in the 60s, people took to the streets because there was a draft. Do we need to bring the draft back to get people to get off their butts?
Why should we need to have an even greater threat to people's personal liberties to get us to understand that there is an existing threat to our liberties with a nation that continues at war while its domestic economy rots? Our civil liberties are at risk here in this effort to continue and to escalate a war. If we don't understand right now what's at risk, why would a draft change it? Is it just to say, well, we're all affected now directly? Look, there's a lot of families right now whose young men and women have their lives on the line here. They honorably serve. They willingly put themselves at risk for us. But is this the best we can do for them? Send them into an impossible situation in Afghanistan, where the fruits of victory are essentially a box of rocks? I mean, what is this? What are we doing as a nation? Why are we destroying ourselves? Why are we permitting our government to just move on headlong into more war and try to convince us this is going to make us safer? Come on. I mean, this is time to just kind of wake up and get what's going on here, because what's going on isn't good for our country.
So we send 30,000 more troops over there at the cost of $1 million a year per soldier.
Right.
How do we pay for that? We can't pay
for
that.
Well, we borrow money from China and put ourselves even at more risk. I mean, China, in our trade agreements, we didn't have workers' rights, human rights, environmental quality principles. They have different standards there. The corporations that flock the standard to China aren't looking for democracy. You know, we're impairing the quality of our democracy by exporting jobs and importing a whole new way of life in America, which includes unemployment and which includes increasing government control over people's private lives. This is just not right. And if we don't stand up and protest this, we're going to lose our country. It's not like this democracy is guaranteed to us. It's not as though anything's guaranteed to us anymore. We have to re-secure our standing in this country, and the only way to do it when there is a risk is for people to stand up and speak out. Now, I can do that as one member of Congress, but frankly, anyone is equal to that if they're willing to stand up in a town square and gather people together for the purposes of an honest and thoughtful discussion about why are we at war in Afghanistan, why are we staying in Iraq, what do we think we're doing in terms of the long-term trajectory of our presence there. Hasn't Al-Qaeda already been routed? Isn't the Taliban gaining strength as our occupation fuels its insurgency? And then the cost of the war, it can't be sustained. We can't pay off our debts. We have a nation that is deeply in debt, and we're going deeper into debt for a war that makes no sense whatsoever.
And yet, Congressman Kucinich, when you ran for president, you called for a Department of Peace. Which would put us on a whole different trajectory, a whole different plane, and that's nowhere in this game plan.
Well, Nicole, here's the thing. You know, we have a right to defend ourselves. I don't hesitate to say America has a right to defend itself. But what's happening is that we're creating a culture which basically gets kind of a buzz on more war. And when that happens, we just have more war. And you wonder, why is it that Congress can't get out of a war? We're in 8 years in Afghanistan now. How come we keep on getting this impulse to further a war and just put everything, our treasure of our nation, pile it up and say, well, go for it. And, well, all these things are lacking here at home. You know, we have to ask ourselves some deep questions about what about this impulse towards war and violence. And so the Department of Peace takes a very compassionate look at where we are as a country, but focuses in on things that matter at a home level, domestic violence, spousal abuse, child abuse, violence in the school, gang violence, gun violence, racial violence, violence against gays, police community clashes. We look at the, we not only look at it from an analytical standpoint, but we, you know, the Department of Peace would set up programs to help families with their difficulties to deal with domestic violence, not when there's an emergency room visit or even worse, but to teach children how to deal with each other, to teach children values of compassion and mutuality and respect. And you can teach that. You can teach violence or you can teach nonviolence. So the Department of Peace is about setting up a whole new approach in our society and helping community groups that are already trying to find a way towards peace. And it's this is some airy-fairy notion of that is an abstraction that has nothing to do with the way we live. Our whole economy and our society has been inundated by violence, and we have to start asking ourselves, is this the healthiest choice that we can make for ourselves, our children, and their future?
And I couldn't agree with you more, especially coming after this weekend. I'm down here in Florida, and we had what seemed like a nice Thanksgiving dinner, some guy went out to his car, brought a gun back in, and shot up the family, killed his two sisters and a niece. And then just last night in Washington, four police officers gunned down.
I know. I mean, when you see that, it breaks your heart because
it's
part of an impulse that we have to ask some questions about, well, what about the larger culture can we change? And what about ourselves can we change whenever any of us have this impulse towards violence and anger? I mean, how do you channel that? How can you, you know, it was Emerson who once wrote that every jet of chaos which threatens to exterminate us is convertible by intellect into a wholesome force. So we ask ourselves, you know, how is there a way that we can not just take a new look, but use a new approach in the way that we deal with our relations with each other? FDR talked about the importance of pursuing the science of human relations, and we aren't really taking a scientific approach towards each other. It's really our nation's been in an emotional tailspin in my time, probably since the assassination of John Kennedy. And it's been and the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy and the Vietnam War and Watergate, and you know, we've ended up in a spiral that we really haven't recovered from, and it's taken us into Iraq and Afghanistan, and you know, God knows where we'll go from here unless we take an assessment of where we are and say, look, we can be better than this. We can go beyond repeating the mistakes of the past. But when you have an administration that's poised to launch further into the abyss of Afghanistan, you have to ask, you know, what have we learned? And we have to ask that old question again: who are we? What do we stand for? What's this nation about? Are we ready to really take the new direction which millions of Americans had hoped for in 2008, or will that that aspiration just be dashed on the rocks of Afghanistan?
I certainly hope not. I hope that it won't be dashed, and I hope we can get back to the change we wanted and we voted for. Dennis Kucinich, find him at kucinich.us. Thank you for the work you do. As I said to Bernie Sanders in the last hour, we need more of you guys. And so thank you for the hard work, and we need to step up our game on this
and
side.
Women, and women, too. I mean, this is a moment in our country's history where we have to be very clear about the direction we're going in, and we have to, it's okay to resort to common sense and forget these people who come to you with all kinds of PhDs trying to argue it's about why we should continue a war. Easy for them to say, well, they sit in the background while other people's children die. Let's stay in touch, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Congressman Dennis Kucinich, again, one of my very few heroes in Congress.